All right. This morning's reading you'll find on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. And it's from Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17, through to all of chapter 4. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit your husbands as a fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win over their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what's right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychius will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you, they will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received him instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is also called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is also wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke the doctor and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers of Laodicea and Nymphaea and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of Laodiceans, and that you may turn and read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you again. What's the driving force that's at the centre of life, that everything in life revolves around? What's the driving force that's at the centre of life for you? I remember meeting a guy who explained to me that when he was 22, he used to measure everything in terms of whether it increased or decreased what he thought his chances were of meeting the woman of his dreams. So, go to that party, take that holiday job, go on beach mission. Am I more likely to meet the person I want to marry or not? Or maybe you're a fan of the TV show Grand Designs. Grand Designs is all about building your dream home. And it doesn't matter what the cost, financially, time, effort, relationships, people are just focused on building their dream home. Or maybe you're trying to get, you know, your own small business up and running, and those 12, 13, 14-hour days just don't leave time for anything else. Maybe there's a uni course that you'd really love to get into, and so you're studying and that's your focus. Or maybe you're at a, you know, halfway around the world, you know, the endless cruise, and then you're going to come back and save up to head off to South America, to Iguazu Falls, and then you're off to Kruger National Park in South Africa. What's at the centre of life? What's life revolving around? And not just a question for us as individuals, but as a church, what's at the centre? That passage that Gary just read for us raises that question for us today. There's an outline there in your leaflet if you'd like to have that open, but please particularly have your Bible open. Today, as we come to this last section in Colossians, we're going to see what Paul's got to say about what's at the centre, what's the driving force that everything in life revolves around. So let me pray and ask that God would speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. It shouts out to the world that you're a great God. And we thank you that you're a speaking God, that you don't leave us in the dark. So please, by your Spirit, take your word and make it alive to us, that we would know your voice speaking into our lives. Help us to respond, trusting and following you. Amen. I don't know if you noticed when Gary was reading the first section of today's passage focuses on a household. So what's to be at the centre? What's to be the driving force of a household that everything revolves around? Let me show you this picture. Here's Ariane Titmus. Ariane's just retired from swimming. She won gold medals at the last two Olympics, world record holder, an incredible athlete. Ariane Titmus grew up in Tasmania. When she was 14, her family, mum, dad, her brother and sister, they sold the family home and they moved from Tasmania to Queensland. Mum and dad didn't have a job to go to, but they made the move, and it was all about giving Ariane Titmus the very best opportunity to improve as a swimmer. There's a household where everything revolves around giving one person that opportunity to grow as a swimmer. So what's the household to revolve around according to Colossians? Well, to answer that, we need to step back a moment and think about one of the big threads that's run through this letter. I wonder if you noticed it as we went along over these last few weeks. Back in chapter 1, we heard that Jesus is supreme. He's supreme over creation. He's supreme over his church. He is supreme in salvation, in redemption. That was chapter 1. In chapter 2, Bastia took us to this hinge verse, chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. Christ Jesus is Lord. That was chapter 2. Chapter 3, last week, we heard that Christ has been raised and he is ruling over everything. And so we're to lift our sights, set our hearts and minds where Christ is, because where he is, we are. Through the letter, we see that Jesus is ruling. He is supreme. He is in charge of everything. Jesus is Lord. And so, with that background, we come to today's passage, and in this first section, in these first 9 verses, 7 times Jesus is referred to as Lord. It's the same idea. So what's that going to look like? Well, Paul gives us 3 pairs, husbands, wives, parents, children, slaves, masters, to show what does this look like in the household when Jesus is Lord. So let's dig into those. First pair, husbands and wives. So verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Do you notice what that doesn't say? It doesn't say, husbands, make your wives submit to you. It says, wives, voluntarily place yourselves under your husbands. Wives, voluntarily place yourselves under your husbands. Second half of it, as is fitting in the Lord. Now, when Gary read the passage, he actually started from verse 17, because there's a parallel phrase in verse 17. So, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Parallel phrase, verse 18, as is fitting in the Lord. To do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus is to do it in keeping with the character of Jesus. The name of Jesus is his character. So, wives, voluntarily place yourselves under your husbands in keeping with the character of the Lord, as is fitting in the Lord. Just as Jesus is your personal Lord, he is Lord in your marriage. He is your role model. So what does it look like for Jesus to submit? Well, Jesus is patient and kind, but he's never a doormat for people to walk over. Jesus is loving and humble, but he never renounces who he is. Jesus is the role model. Husbands, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. In the ancient world, in all the writings of the ancient world, it is exceptionally rare for husbands to be told to love their wives. It was virtually non-existent. And so to be Christian and to be a husband, To be encouraged to love your wife is a radical thing. Husbands, Jesus is your Lord, and so that is to shape the way you treat your wife. You love your wife because Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves his bride. Jesus gives his life. He lays down his life for his bride. He sacrifices himself for her. So husbands, love your wives sacrificially. Give of yourself. Seek their best interests ahead of your own. And do not be harsh with them. The sense of it is, don't leave your wife embittered. Don't leave her so frustrated that she's tearing her hair out. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now, can I just step one pace to the side on this? In Australian culture, we have a huge problem with domestic and family abuse. There is no place for domestic and family abuse. But unfortunately, all the stats, all the stories just tell a horrendous, they paint a horrendous picture. I don't know if you picked up in the news a couple of weeks ago, the Australian government is once again throwing millions more dollars at the issue. But there's no place for domestic and family abuse, full stop, and especially in God's church. And so these verses can never be used to justify that. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. The second pair is children and fathers, so verses 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. When it's talking about children here, it's not talking about adult children. It's talking about youngsters. And so, youngsters, God gives parents to love and care for children. Parents are given that entrusted responsibility on God's behalf to love and care for kids. And so children to respond by obeying their parents, because as they do, they're actually obeying God. And verse 21, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. In the ancient world, the father was very much recognized as the head of the household. We can expand on that to think parents as a whole. Don't set the bar so high that your kids can never do anything right, that they can never please you. No, no. Don't leave them embittered. Encourage and strengthen and nurture them. Third pair, slaves and masters. Really interesting. So in the ancient world, slaves are very much part of the household. But here we've got a really interesting dynamic going on because, yes, there are masters and slaves. There's that difference in power. But now they're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so before God, they're equal. And so how are they to treat each other? Well, slaves, recognize that your master is actually your Christian brother. And so you want to do the very best for him. So, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Verse 24, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, the way I like to try and think about it is this. Imagine you're working the checkout at Woolies. Blip, blip, have a good day. Blip, blip. Have a good day. Now, imagine though, if your next customer, as you're working the checkout, imagine if your next customer was the Lord Jesus. Do you reckon you would engage? Do you think you would make sure that you pack his shopping bag really well so things didn't tumble out and the milk doesn't leak? Or imagine, if he wasn't your customer, imagine if Jesus was your shift manager as you're working the checkout. And, you know, he's buzzing around just making sure everything's going okay. Do you think you'd be wanting to do a good job knowing that he's watching you? Of course you would. So whether you're wrangling kids in the classroom at school, or whether you drive the bus with, you know, the safety of 70 people your responsibility, or whether you drive the garbage truck to make sure that we live in a really clean and healthy environment, it doesn't matter what your role, you're serving the Lord Jesus. So you want to do that really well. And masters, well, your slaves are actually your Christian brothers and sisters, and so you need to treat them as such, knowing that actually you've got a master in heaven, the Lord, and you're responsible to him, you're answerable to him. Who's in charge of this household? What is it the center of the household that everything revolves around? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord. So having spent all this time talking about the household, it's a bit odd then when Paul then moves on in verses 2 to 6, it seems like a bit of a crunching of gears. So what's going on here? I was talking to a guy during the week and he was telling me about a young lady. She's 17. She doesn't come from a Christian household at all. In fact, it's an atheist household. God is just not on the agenda. Anyway, one of her friends from school gave her a Bible. And this young lady just can't get enough of it. She's been devouring it. She's underlining stuff and highlighting stuff. And over the last few months, as she's done that, she's come to faith. And in fact, she's being baptized in another church this morning. And I think what's going on there gets captured here in these verses. Have a look at chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, if Jesus is Lord of the household, then Jesus is Lord, that is for other people as well, beyond church. And so it begins here with prayer. Paul is locked up. He's in prison. But he's praying that God would open the doors for the message. That message, verse 3, is the same message that we saw back in chapter 1. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message that as it's gone to the Colossians, it's borne fruit, spiritual fruit. And so Paul wants people to pray that that message would go out and bear fruit. The spread of the gospel begins in prayer. And then there is the speaking that takes place. So verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul, as he preaches, that he would speak Christ. And that proclaiming is matched in verse 6 by the conversations. So there's both the upfront proclamation of the gospel, but there's also the shoulder to shoulder across the coffee table conversations. And we need both. Prayer and speaking, that the message of Christ may go out. Because Jesus is Lord is not just for the household, it's Jesus is Lord for everyone. Jesus is Lord is for everybody in Mount Barker. So, over these next few weeks, what's it going to look like for your conversations to be seasoned with salt, to be full of grace? As you pray, how might you prepare? Because you can imagine, you know, over these next few weeks, somebody's going to ask you, so what's going on at Christmas? What are you up to? Have you prayed and thought about how you might respond to that sort of conversation? Well, you know, we're doing this, this and this. And, of course, we'll be at church because, for us, the birth of Jesus is at the centre of Christmas. How might you pray and prepare that your conversations might be full of grace? Because the opportunities will come, won't they? Jesus is Lord of the household. Therefore, Jesus is Lord is for everybody. And so naturally, it flows from there, this last section, that Jesus is Lord and he has his gospel. In the last part of chapter 4, did you hear all those names that were read out, as Gary read? This is Paul and the gospel team. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Maybe you've got a picture of Paul as the Lone Ranger, you know, the one charging around the Mediterranean planting churches. He always operated in a team. He was never just him. And so here we have part of the team being talked about. Now, I'm not going to go through all the names, but let me pick out two just to illustrate. First of all, there's Tychicus. So verse 7 and 8. Tychicus will tell you all about the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Did you notice at the end of verse 7 there, he's described as a fellow servant in the Lord? If you've got a church Bible, you'll see there's a little footnote there saying servant is literally slave. Just as the household slaves have Jesus as Lord, Tychicus, his Lord is the Lord Jesus. His life is at the disposal of Jesus. And Paul has sent Tychicus to the Colossians so that the Colossians would, at the end of verse 8, that he may encourage your hearts. We've heard that before. Back in chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love as they understand Christ. Paul and Tychicus are on the same page. He's being sent that the Colossians would be encouraged, that Tychicus would get beside them and say, keep going, press on, persevere. I know it's tricky, but hang in there. And don't we need people like that? Don't we need a Tychicus to get beside us every now and then to say, you're going okay, press on. I know it's hard, but Jesus got you. He'll never abandon you. Keep going. And then there's Epaphras, verse 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. This is not the first time we've met Epaphras. Remember back in chapter 1, Epaphras was the one who actually brought the gospel to the Colossians. He was the one who shared Jesus with them and saw them come to faith. But that's not enough for him. That they would Stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. We've heard that before as well, at the end of chapter 1. Verse 28, Paul says, Christ is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So Epaphras and Paul, they don't want people just to come to faith. They want people to grow in faith. They want people to be adults in faith, to be mature and complete, to be disciples, fully sold out for the Lord Jesus. And so Epaphras is praying that God would do his great supernatural work in people's lives, because Epaphras knows we can't change anyone. God's got to do the work of renovation on people's hearts. Notice, though, that as he prays in verse 12, verse 13, he's working hard. Prayer and hard work aren't polar opposites. They're not pitted against each other. They go hand in hand. So where's the Tychicuses? Where's the next Epaphras? Great news that Duncan Andrews is coming to be your senior pastor next year. When Duncan turns up in February, it's not a case of, you know, pop the corks, break out the bubbly and put your feet up and go, oh. No. We see here that the Lord Jesus invites all his people onto his gospel team. And so when Duncan arrives, it's not tools down, it's how can we all contribute? Who's going to be the next Epaphras? Who's going to be the Tychicus? Who's going to get beside people and encourage them? Because we're all part of the gospel team under the Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord of the household. And because Jesus is Lord, he is Lord for all people. And so we want the gospel to go out. And Jesus calls all of us onto his gospel team. In the Middle Ages, it was commonly thought that the earth was at the center of the universe, and that the sun and the planets all revolved around the earth. In the early 1500s, a man called Nicholas Copernicus did a whole lot of equations and calculations and flipped that on its head and said, no, it's not the earth that's at the center of things, but the sun. And at the center is the sun, and everything else revolves. My brothers and sisters, when we come to faith, there's a Copernican revolution that takes place. We are no longer at the center of life, but the Son is. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is at the center of life. And everything revolves around him. Let's pray. Our great God, we praise you for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank you for Christmas time to remember his great rescue mission. And so we know that you have raised him. He is ruling and supreme, and he is Lord. He is our Lord, Lord of our lives, Lord of Trinity Mount Barker. And so we ask that you would help us day by day, week by week, to live with Jesus as our Lord. to his praise and glory. Amen.